This is the final whistle on Ocean FM.
Oh, and Let it be said,
Sligo Rugby's upward curve continues apace. Just days after the Sligo senior men's team lifted the Connacht Senior Cup, Sligo Grammar School complete an historic treble-double. Three consecutive Connacht Senior Schools League and Cup doubles. It's never been done before. We were at the Grammar today to find out how they've managed it. Plus, winner not all right is the Cheltenham Racing Festival losing its spark. One Sligo race goer who was at Prestwick Park this week and who knows his Galopin Deschamps from his Shishkin thinks so. And you're welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. Here are the contact details if you want to get in touch by text and WhatsApp. The number 083 3500 530, by email sport@oceanfm.ie will get to us, and on X at @OceanFMSport is the Twitter handle to look for. Also coming up, Donegal County Gaelic footballer and ATU Sligo women's team captain Roisin Rogers on a poignant Moynihan Cup final success for the ATU last weekend in Cork when lifting the All-Ireland Higher Education title just days after seeing their teammate and friend Ella O'Neill from County Waterford laid to rest. More on that to come later on. But we begin with events last night at the Dexcom Stadium. That's the new name for the sports ground in Galway.
Free play for Grammar again, who are dominating this and leading by two. They just need to get that try. They are over. It is a try for Sligo Grammar. Out it comes. It's a chance for the fullback McKinty to seal this victory. He's in for the try.
Oh, and we done!
Oh, and we done!
Let it be said!
Let it be said!
Perfectly strong!
Perfectly strong!
And it goes on!
And it goes on!
Oh, and we done!
Oh, and
that's the Sligo Grammar School team chant, which has greeted the conclusion of the last three Connacht Senior A Schools Cup finals. And they were singing it again, this time yesterday evening, after winning a third consecutive Schools Cup title to complete an historic third Provincial League and Cup double in a row. Sligo Grammar School 29, Marist College of Athlone 18. There were celebrations for pupils and staff in the school last night, and a few tired eyes on the Mall today. Ocean FM Sport paid a visit to the Sligo Grammar School, where Vice Principal Jimmy Staunton, who's also one of the main drivers of rugby in the school, reflected on what this comparatively small secondary school has achieved, as well as a report on how the team celebrations unfolded.
When they came back last night, I think they just went out to one of the parents, invited them out to a house, and they had a little celebration for themselves. I see a few of them around. I see one of the co-captains in this morning, a couple of the players, which is great. Study has been very important for some of these leaving certs. But everyone's happy, everyone's relieved that we've kind of got here, we've got the three in a row. It's an amazing achievement. It's never been done before, three leagues and three cups successively by the one team. And that's something to be proud of. It's history made by the students, and we're delighted for them.
The school, the staff must be beaming about this.
Look, there's a number of the staff that are involved in rugby in the school. There's three or four of the teachers that help out, the strength and conditioning coach who's here helps out as part-time PE teacher as well. And the amount of work that they put in from under 14 level right up is just immense. And the long evenings, getting wet, particularly this year, it seems to have been raining non-stop. That's a lot of work and a lot of sacrifices made.
And as an occasion this week at the Dexcom Stadium, the new name for the sports ground, the Schools Cup final kicked off a bit later, 6 p.m, the lights starting to fade in the second half. Was it a more atmospheric cup final in some respects?
I thought the atmosphere in last year's school final was electric as well. We had lots of supporters up. I wouldn't be a fan of the 6 p.m. start. It was nice under lights, but we had more supporters there last year, and the time certainly maybe something that to give consideration to the teachers that have to get up the following morning for work, and the students and the people travelling back, and especially when you live so far away from Galway, getting back at 11:15, 11:30 last night was very difficult. It was a very long day yesterday for both players, students, parents having to collect the children and everything. But look, it's not going to take away from it. It was a great day, great atmosphere.
What does the three in a row mean for Sligo Grammar School?
I don't know if that has really sank in yet. It's just a great achievement to kind of win three cups. It's very difficult to win one cup. And some people go through, you go through for years and you never win anything. But to win three in a row, and there's eight or nine of those players that started 3 years ago. And that's an amazing achievement. Started at TY and there to play again in sixth year. And to see the joy in their face and the joy in their families yesterday was just brilliant.
You're the vice principal here at Sligo Grammar School, but rugby is a big part of your Sligo Grammar School life. Part of your role is nurturing and developing the game, the sport here. Like, does this feel a watershed moment to you?
I think the development over the last 5 years, 6 years has been just huge. And we, as a school, yes, it's part of our tradition. We've played for over 100 years. You can go down and see photographs of people from the 1920s up on the wall. But the big change, I suppose, has been the expansion of the game to both girls rugby as well. And a lot of that has to go down to Tadhg Power, who joined us on the staff this year. A huge interest in it from the girls. And the under-14s put in so much and such hard work and dedication. They're kind of my heroes for this year. And they won a little tournament there recently, just kind of a local tournament. But it was great for them. And to see the joy in the face, it was like winning the Senior Cup. And that's wonderful. And there's over 100, between boys and girls, there's over 100 or 1 in 4 students in the school playing rugby. And that's a large number of people to be out. You know, there's five teams, and we're out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday mornings at 7 o'clock, Monday mornings at 7 o'clock. And, you know, that's what it takes, and that's the dedication the staff put in.
In terms of this current group of players you have, the team that won this week, you spotted them from a fairly early stage, did you, as a collection of players with potential?
I think at the end of first year we knew we had something special there, and we kind of decided in 2019 that we would target a junior cup, we brought them off to Valencia, I remember, in February 2020, and of course then we just arrived back and we had COVID. And they missed out on the opportunity to play. So that was a very disappointing. But we kept working right through COVID. We kept going with our strength and conditioning. We kept going with our skill work in here. And I think that's really what stood to us over the last 3 years. We kept going when others stopped. We were allowed to do outside sports. And we kept training going 4 days a week. And we just developed the players during that. We had the strength and conditioning going hand in hand with that. Even though we played no games all that year, we were ready for the following year. And I think that's the reason we won the Senior Cup 3 years ago.
And is that the philosophy you've always tried to engender here? I mean, I'm old enough to remember numerous Sligo Grammar School teams in the late 80s, 90s, you know, the early noughties. Like, there was always a pedigree here.
There was always a pedigree here, but I firmly believe it's kind of gone to a new level. I think all sports across the board, whether you're playing GAA, you're playing soccer, the strength and conditioning of the players, that has become a really big part of it. But you have to remember the most important reason that they play rugby is they have to enjoy it. And if they don't enjoy it, there's no point in playing it. And that's our main philosophy, is they get out there and they enjoy it. And if the winning comes, that's the added bonus.
The outsider might have an impression this is a big school numerically at Sligo Grammar School. Can we kill that myth for a moment? I mean, how many Leaving Cert boys are in Sligo Grammar School this year?
We have 49 boys doing Leaving Cert this year, and that would be typical. You know, usually you have around, in some of the junior years, there's only 35, 37 boys in second year, for example. And yet those same junior boys made it to a junior cup final. So the numbers are quite small, but that doesn't mean you can't produce good players if you put the work in.
Okay, yeah, because, I mean, in comparison with Marist, Garbley, Summerhill College in Connacht, Methody, yeah, Campbell in Belfast, the Black Rocks, the Clongowes in Leinster, there's a big gap there size-wise.
Yeah, size-wise, some of those schools, we'd outnumber us in boys from 4-5 to 1. But that, you know, you leave that aside. You just kind of have to get out and go at it like it's like anything. Ireland's a small country. We fight above our weight in many different things, whether it's business, whether it's sport or whatever. And just because you're small doesn't mean you can't just produce it.
Yeah. I know we've spoken about this before, but is this kind of conclusive proof now that at this kind of underage developmental level, the pendulum has swung now? I mean, we were very close to having an all Sligo Connacht Senior A Schools Cup final this season, which probably reflects well on what's happening at Sligo Rugby Club as well as Sligo Grammar School, etc.
Yeah, I think you're correct there, Austin. Summerhill were very unlucky not to make the final, probably should have made the final, and we'd love to have had an all Sligo final. That would have been really a great occasion in the sports ground in Galway. There's a lot of work done out in the rugby club, and I also have to say we've a lot of our players are bordering coming in from Carrick and Shannon. I think there was 9 of our players, the 23 squad, coming in from Carrick and Shannon, and they're a big part of what we do here as well. So I think the between the two clubs and ourselves, it's good overall for underage rugby in the Sligo region.
Can I ask you about the journey to this particular Senior Cup final? There were a couple of wobbles on the way in the group stage, but Sligo Grammar School seem to have developed this knack that when the chips are down and it's the make or break match, you know how to get a result and win.
Well, that's it. In the round robin, Summerhill beat us by a point, and deservedly so on the day. They were better than us. We took our eye off the ball, but we just kind of got together, we regrouped and said, we're good enough to win this competition. We just need to start working harder. And that's what we did. And we brought everyone together, everyone bought into it, and we literally, I would say, improved game on game after that. That was the kind of kick we needed, and it definitely kick-started us, and we just played better and better as we got through from the Jez to Murdochs to the final yesterday. You could see an improvement game on game, and I think it's just a sign of a very good team.
And what does that do, finally, for the younger players coming behind this team, the second years, the third years? You had a Junior Cup final team yesterday, didn't go their way, but they're young and they look a pretty decent side to most neutral observers. I mean, you've got to be encouraged by what's coming behind this current wave.
Absolutely. Last year we won the Junior League, and this year our juniors made the final of the cup. We played Marist. We lost by, it was 22-14 in the end, but that Marist scored a try in the last play of the game. Just to give you an idea, out of the 7 backs, 6 of them were under 15, and one of those was an under 14, and we had 2 under 15s in the pack as well. So that's very unusual. A team with 7 under 15s would make an A final. But I think it's a credit really to both the boys themselves, and I have to give great credit to Simon Galvin, who did absolutely immense work with them, and his expertise is invaluable. A wonderful coach.
One last thought, Jimmy. Anybody who thinks this is, you know, grab a kit bag at 4:10 on a Wednesday and a Friday and go out training with the lads, that's all there is to it. You've mentioned the support team around you who have helped Sligo Grammar School on this journey. I mean, that is a critical part of what happens here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, James Gavin and Sean Taylor, our strength and conditioning coach, who has the boys in wonderful condition right across the school. That programme of S&C, we are now going to be starting to plan for next year after Easter. So the cup game begins literally after Easter. We will start looking at what we're going to do for next year from under 14 level right up to senior level. And that's why, you know, you get players like, I opened up an email this morning to see that our number 8, Dermot O'Connell, is made the Irish Schoolboys, which is a wonderful achievement for him, and it's a wonderful achievement for the school to be picked on the Irish Schoolboys. He's already got a club under 18 cap in October, but this is another level, and to move up into be considered one of the best 25 players in the country at under 18, that is a major achievement.
Jimmy Staunton, team manager of the Sligo Grammar School's Schools Cup winning team, speaking to us earlier. And the player he referenced there is 17-year-old Leitrim native and a boarder at the school, Dermot O'Connell. He plays his club rugby with Carrick Rugby Club. Today he got that call up to the Irish under-18 schoolboys international squad.
Huge achievement, like first team ever to complete a triple-double. make history. And like, there's nothing like playing for your school, you know, place where you live, and it's just playing with all your friends, you know.
Did you come to Sligo Grammar for the rugby?
Oh yeah, exactly. That's pretty much the only reason I came, you know. Always wanted to go to a boarding school. Always wanted to go to a rugby school as well. And yeah, very happy with my decision anyways.
And growing up around Carrick, like, was that your game? Was that always your game?
Oh yeah, I joined Carrick Rugby Club when I was about 5 years old. I begged my mum to join a year early. And yeah, I was always obsessed with rugby. Like, I played Gaelic and basketball, but rugby was always the main one. And yeah, it's the reason I came to the Grammar anyways, for sure.
And what do you like about the game?
I suppose physicality, obviously. Just getting on the ball and being able to just run at people, you know. And like when you're playing with a team in such a physical sport like that, you band together so tightly, like you're just practically a family then. Yeah, it's great.
And can you remember when you came here in first year? And I don't know how they do it here, it's like a grammar school. Are there trials for rugby? Everyone goes out and they see who they've got, what these guys are like. Do you remember those first weeks integrating yourself into the rugby way of life here?
Yeah, well, I actually joined in second year. I spent my first year in Carrick. And I remember coming here for pre-season training just before I joined. And yeah, I was so nervous before. I remember that. I obviously stood out because of my size, but...
You liked it anyway?
Yeah. No, straight away, like, settled in really quickly. All the lads, like, it was... Yeah, easy to settle in, you know.
Your vice principal, Jimmy Staunton, said he saw something with this group of players at the end of first year into second year when you arrived. Did you guys sense that? Because COVID, I think, interrupted your plans to win a junior cup, you know, so it was a disruptive period in some respects, rugby wise. But did you sense there was something special here?
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, like you were saying with that junior team, we knew there was a lot of strength in that. I think at some stage it was around 8 or 9 of us on selected for a Connacht squad, which is crazy, like. But yeah, we kind of knew we had size, skill, like, and there was a lot of coaching and effort put into the team behind the scenes as well. So, like, I think we always had in the back of our mind that, like, this team's going far, you know.
You're now part of a team that's won 3 Schools Cups in a row at senior level and 3 Connacht Senior Leagues in a row. I've had a look through the record books. I don't see another example of that anywhere. That's something to be very proud of, isn't it?
Yeah, like, first team ever made history last night. Like, and I'd honestly, it'll be very hard to replicate that. Like, going into next year when I'm in 6th year, like, be hoping to make it 4 in a row, but... Yeah, it'll be a tough one. Hard fought anyways, like.
Well, there's a frightening thought for every other school in Connacht. You're not finished in Sligo Grammar School here. You've got one more year here, so you'll be playing Schools Cup Rugby next season.
Yeah, still in 5th year. And I have 1 year left. I'm looking forward to, like, kind of moving more into a leadership role next year, I think, and helping the younger lads develop as well. But I think maybe not, the team won't be as strong next year, but we'll still have... Like, still strong and still hopefully be able to compete and get that 4 in a row, you know.
And a nice bonus at international level, you've got a call up to the Irish under-18 schoolboy squad.
Yeah, just got the call about an hour before kickoff, actually, yesterday. So I was delighted with that. Very high level, like, step up from Ireland clubs. But, yeah, hopefully now, if all goes well, selected for the... Six Nations Festival at the end of March, which will be amazing experience, you know.
And my last question, if it's a fair one, is this what you want to do, Dermot? You're 17 years of age, but do you see rugby as the direction of travel for you now?
Yeah, I suppose, and it kind of always has been ever since I started playing. I always wanted to play professional, and it's been amazing to just kind of see that, like, become more and more possible every year. But, like, hopefully, maybe once I'm finished with school, get into Connacht Academy and just keep progressing from there. Just try and carve out a career with rugby, you know.
Not bad for a boy from Carrick who at the age of 5 plumosed his mum to take him to training while he was still a year too young.
Exactly, yeah. I just still remember it, all those trainings. I loved every minute of it. It's been an amazing journey, you know.
Keep an eye on him. That's Carrick's and Sligo Grammar School's Diarmaid O'Connell, who's part of the Ireland Schoolboys under 18 squad, and he helped Sligo Grammar School complete that treble double this week in Galway. 3 consecutive Connacht Senior A League and Cup doubles. Not an achievement to be sniffed at all in any province. Well, next to Cheltenham, for many years regarded as the Olympics of national hunt racing. But is that starting to change? Well, judging by the commentary and discussion on ITV Racing this week, it may be. Here's an exchange between host Ed Chamberlain and Irish tipster Kevin Blake.
Yesterday, first 5 in the Supreme Irish, first 3 in the Arkle, first 4 of the 5 in the Champion Hurdle, first 5 in the Boodles, first 2 in the final race, the National Hunt Chase. Last couple of years, it's a normal day at the office, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, look, as an Irishman, it makes you very proud of what we're doing at home to get results like that. And it isn't taken for granted. Look, I'm too young to remember the late 80s when the Irish would come here and sometimes not have a winner at all. But look, it hasn't happened overnight. And what we're seeing yesterday and what we're probably going to see for the rest of the week, it's not something that's happened overnight. You know, the Irish-trained horses have had more winners than the British-trained horses at this meeting every year since 2016. And look, it's gone terribly one-sided. And I don't think that's healthy for anyone. It's not healthy for Ireland. We rely heavily on the business on this side of the water too. And look, some people in British National Hunt Racing don't like to talk about this. They prefer to close their eyes, put their fingers in their ears and hope things will get better. But that, it hasn't been working. You know, these things have to be talked about, discussed. Do I know what the solutions are? No. But if I'm involved in British National Hunt Racing, like a week like this, you know, talk about red alarm bells, you know, flashing and ringing, you know, and they should have been ringing many years ago, but this is summing up an awful lot of what's going wrong. And look, we're not perfect in Ireland, but there's real problems here.
That's Kevin Blake on ITV Racing expressing some of his concerns about the Cheltenham Festival. And it appears he's not alone. Crowds are down this year. And one Sligo racegoer who was at Cheltenham on the opening day this week feels it may be losing some of its lustre. Stephen Rush had 5 winners on the opening day, so he knows his stuff. But it seems things have changed at the festival, and not all those changes are good ones.
My opinion of this year's Cheltenham was, going into it, I wasn't as excited as I usually would be, given the fact that most Cheltenhams each day would have a potential superstar in the making showing up, be it in the Supreme, be it in the Arkle, be it in the Ballymore, something like that. This year, we have got a few superstars between the Ballymore yesterday, which was Ballyburn won it. He looks a superstar in the making. But going into it, I think I was right in terms of thinking it's looking like one of the weakest Cheltenhams in years and years and years. There's so much for being patriotic and thinking that the Irish are going to dominate, and we have this year where it's mattered. But I just think this year has been a bit overwhelming, and given the fact that I saw the crowds are down, I think it was 8,000 yesterday. I didn't see the Tuesday crowd. I was there Tuesday and I made the remark that after the first race is when everyone wants to be out for the first race, and then after that it's a case of you just stay where you're getting a drink. And you could notice by the crowds it was thinning out, and by the looks of the telly as well, it was the same for the next 2 days, today and yesterday. I think Cheltenham has a lot of concerns around it at the minute between competition and how you market it to people. And this year has been kind of one of the low points, I'd say, in the last 10 years of Cheltenham.
And why is that, do you think, Stephen? As someone who follows racing pretty closely, is this a knock-on effect of the pandemic? Is it legacy things? What has changed, or what is changing?
I think one of the big things at the minute with Cheltenham is cost. You need to take into account everyone in Cheltenham is wise to, if I want to make my money off people that have no option other than to stay here, I'm going to charge for it. So accommodation in Cheltenham is very expensive unless you get very lucky, which we did on Tuesday. Like, you could be talking, I probably averaged out at, if you're looking at to stay in Cheltenham anywhere near the race course, it's about €500 to €700 a night, and that could be for a one bedroom, that could be for a twin room. It's, and then you get on course, a pint of Guinness, which is the most easily recognisable way of judging how things cost. A pint of Guinness, I think, is £8, so you could pay €9 for just a pint of Guinness. And it's putting a lot of people off. And on top of it as well, when you look at the competitivity of the racing, like, it's fine and well when you get an upset, but you want your favourites to be going off 2-1. You want them to be going off odds against rather than odds on. And there's not much attraction there to racing that involves, oh, Willie Mullins has 6 favourites on day one. Where do you go from there? Like, you want to be backing favourites because they're fun to back. You know they're going, they have a good chance. But you also don't want to be backing favourites that are thinking, this horse is 1-3 on, I'm winning barely anything on it, I don't get much of a kick out of it. There's a lot to be done with the race programme, but there's also a lot to be done with, how do you market this? How do you charge people for it?
That's interesting. I know watching the ITV coverage this week, Stephen, they have expressed similar concerns to what you're expressing, particularly after the first 2 days. There was quite a lengthy discussion about how one-sided the Irish-trained winners versus English-trained winners was becoming. Now, that has changed after today's card. It's 11 Irish winners to 8 English ones. So that doesn't suggest, on the face of it, anything too one-sided.
No, but just the only thing coming to my head right now is, actually, now that I think of it, technically, the Thursday is well known as the weakest day of the racing, because you start off with, you have the 2.5 mile novice chase, the Thursday it's called now, and that was won by England. Then after that, you have, it's the Pertemps after that. The Pertemps is a race where cowboys do their jobs, and it's a handicap race. You get there on it. And then you have the Ryanair. The Ryanair is well described as for horses that you want to be a Gold Cup horse, but was never a Gold Cup horse. So I think it actually goes to show the weakness in British racing at the minute, that the weakest day of the year, they actually did their best, because no one really wants to own a 2.5 mile novice. No one really wants to own 2.5 mile Ryanair winner. So it's a case of, I think the Irish have their strengths in the places that it matters. But at the same time, the English did come back today with the likes of the Skeltons getting 2 winners. And then, of course, you had the Sir Alex Ferguson double with Mon Morale in the second and Protectorat in the Ryanair, and then the Irish won the races they were expected to with Tia Hoopoe. And I know you were, I know the way you're thinking, but the big one, in my opinion, the big one today for the English was winning the Mare's Novice. The Mare's Novice is a race that's built around, they want to promote breeding by running mares rather than just leaving them off the track and having them to be bred. Whereas for the English to win that today and have the 3 best Irish behind them, that's a good win for them. But I just think today was always going to err on the side of, if the Brits were going to do well, it was going to be today.
I want you to picture this scenario for a moment, Stephen. Put on your shiny blue chief executive suit. Imagine you're in charge of the Cheltenham Festival Committee, and you had the power, money and influence to make changes to the festival, to make it more attractive, popular. What changes would you make, apart from reducing the price of a pint and making it maybe less expensive to actually go there and enjoy the racing. Are there any key changes that come to mind for you? I mean, is there an argument to reduce the four-day festival to three like it used to be?
I'm a firm believer that a three-day festival would be the best thing that could happen going back to it. But I think also the changes that have been made in the last few years to accommodate a four-day festival while bringing in new races has also degraded the quality, because the newest race in the programme for Cheltenham was the Mayor's Chase on the Friday. So the Gold Cup is at 3:30, the Hunter's Chase is at 4:10, and then you have the Mayor's Chase at 4:50. Come that time in the week, the majority of punters, be they diehards or be they once-a-year punters, they're exhausted by it. No one really wants to watch a really poor Mayor's Chase. It's made for breeders, people that want to sell horses. That's fine. But at the same time, I think sacrificing the it used to be on a Tuesday. I might be wrong in saying it was the race before the Champion Hurdle. Could be completely wrong there, but it used to be a novice handicap chase. And the novice handicap chase always used to throw up a really good horse, and it used to be a really good betting race. And removing that to replace it with a race, for example, tomorrow, Dino Blue is even money now, to my knowledge, and she's going to go off odds on for JP McManus. That's not exactly lighting the fire under anyone to really get into the race. And I don't think it's ever going to go back to 3 days. It's impossible to think it will. They're making too much money regardless of if the crowds are going down. But I do think 3 days is perfection. But if you're going to have 4 days, please don't remove your best races, which was the novice handicap, and then leave in lesser races that, if you want to replace them, should have been sacrificed. I think the mayors are being given almost too much joy at the minute in terms of being able to dodge the better races. So we'll see what they do with the programme. I can't see the programme changing, but I do think that the main thing Cheltenham need to worry about at the minute is how do we get good racing here, because there's too much ducking and diving. Really rejig them. There shouldn't really be the likes of the Turners today at 2.5 miles. There shouldn't be the Ryanair. The Melling Chase over in Aintree was always the horses that didn't go well in the 2 or 3 mile races. They would go to the Melling Chase at 2.5 miles. You just need to accommodate the fans rather than the owners and trainers that want to see their horses unbeaten. But I'm very sceptical of whether anyone in Cheltenham will ever have the cop on to do that.
Can I ask you about the feature race tomorrow, which is the signature race of the festival? I don't know if you still agree it is. It's the Gold Cup on Friday afternoon. Sligo jockey Derek Fox is in that race with Corrick Rambler, the horse he won the Grand National on last year. There have been a few withdrawals. Shark Hanlon's Hewick has withdrawn, and so has Shishkin, a horse a lot of English racing fans have been very excited about in the run-up to this festival.
Yeah, I saw Hewitt come out. That was always going to be a probability, simply because on Tuesday morning the rain was absolutely chucking down. It was quite dry Monday evening, and then Tuesday morning it was chucking down until the racing started. But then the rain came again afterwards, and there was no point running him. Fair play to Shark. When the game's up, the game's up. There's no point saying, let's run him for the sake of running him just because he's a good story. But that's fine with me. Shishkin coming out, I don't know. Nicky Henderson got the hop of his life, to be honest, this week, when I think he had 4 runners on Tuesday and they were all pulled up. And then I think also his first runner on Wednesday also pulled up. And I think at the minute, it's almost a case of he wants to save himself the embarrassment by not running any more horses. He's taken out the likes of Sergino in the Triumph. He took out Shanna Bob in the Albert Bartlett. But then he also took out Shishkin. My gripe with Shishkin is the fact that I think that horse is almost immune to any outside factors. That horse does what he wants. It would have been good to see him running it, because at the minute I'm just looking here and the top three are Irish. Then you have two, three English horses and then Irish horses. Shishkin would have been the great what if he ran tomorrow. He could do whatever he wants. He might have pulled up before the first. He might have refused to race. He might have won. So I think Nicky, I will give credit to him. He knows when the game is up. At the same time, I do think he should have ran Shishkin tomorrow. My heart and mind and also my bank account is set with Galloping Deschamps tomorrow. I said it last year. I love that horse. I think he is nailed on to win it after his last two performances in the Lexus at Christmas and then the Gold Cup at the Dublin Racing Festival. I think he is nailed on. If you're trying to be shrewd about it, you can look at Fast or Slow for Martin Brazel. He beat him at the back end of it. He beat Galloping Deschamps at the back of last season in Punchestown over 3 miles and then beat him again at the start of this season in the John Durkin over 2.5. But Galloping's just looked much better than him. He beat him in the DRF. In my opinion, the each way bet could be gentleman's game. I've been a big fan of the horse since he was a novice hurdler. I think I'd be delighted if Mouse Morris had a Gold Cup winner, but I just think it's much too far for him. Cork Rambler, of course, no need to introduce him to the listeners of this programme, Austin. The Derek Fox ridden horse who has won twice at Cheltenham and now, since the last time we were doing this, has won a bloody Grand National. He is infinitely open to improvement, but he is also 10. So I can't see him improving enough to win a Gold Cup. He needs to make up about £20 on a lot of them. But, of course, as I've said every year, and I've never backed him, but as I've said every year, I would love to see Derek Fox win a Gold Cup. But good Gold Cup. I will say that. It is a good Gold Cup this year, but Galloping Deschamps wins.
Stephen Fox on the Cheltenham Racing Festival. And if you want to keep an eye on how Sligo jockey Derek Fox gets on aboard Cork Rambler in the Blue Ribbon Race, the Gold Cup, it's tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. When we come back, Glenn Carmanor Hamilton's Leah Fox on winning Gaelic football's O'Connor Cup with DCU last weekend. That's the female equivalent of the Sigerson Cup. Plus reflections from Roisin Rogers of Donegal on a very poignant Moynihan Cup final success for ATU Sligo.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
Well, the Sligo senior football captain, Claire Dunn, has been named on the Higher Education All-Stars Team of the Year for her role in helping DCU lift the O'Connor Cup last weekend. The O'Connor Cup is the female equivalent of the Sigerson Cup. That DCU squad also featuring two Leitrim footballers, Sarah Reynolds from St Mary's and Glen Carmanor's Leah Fox. DCU won their O'Connor Cup semi-final and final after extra time the hard way. Here's Leah chatting to Jerome Quinn after that final win.
Obviously very tough, but I think it gave us good confidence yesterday. We went through it again. Like, we didn't go through extra time yesterday to come and lose here today, so we kind of had that confidence in ourselves. We girls coming back on, fresh girls in. Like, we have such an unreal panel, but I think the great individual players, but the main thing is, like, we're so collective. Like, we're all so close, it's ridiculous. So, yeah.
Cork girl, good player of the match, but if it had to come from your team, who would you think from your team played really well today? I know you're saying it's a huge squad effort, and it really was.
I don't know now. Look, you've girls of unreal quality, but I think the team is the main thing. Like, maybe Cork and more individual performances, but I think all around collective as a team, we probably did, and that's why we have the cup, I suppose.
and you had to come back. Talk to me about the Cork goal that they got that was disallowed. It would have put them four up. Were you thinking at that point it's gone?
Obviously that was, I was on the line at that stage, but before I came back on. But yeah, like, we're kind of worried at that stage. But I think against Queens, we were three down, like two left, and we came back and won it by four. So I think we have that confidence in ourselves that if we go down, we can come back up. But it's not over to the final whistle. And I think Maria Cannon got a ridiculous score there at the end when we really needed it. So yeah, I think we have great confidence in ourselves as well.
What's it like being a Leitrim girl playing with all these names from all over the country and lots of players who've won All-Irelands and played at that level, at senior level?
Yeah, no, it's amazing, to be honest. I suppose to play at such the highest level there is in college football is really a unique experience, maybe from someone from Leitrim. I know there's been a few girls before, but like, I think like you really have to enjoy it, and like the main thing is they're some of your best friends, you know what I mean? So yeah, just days like this are just unbelievable, even a bit emotional. Yeah, it's class.
Eilish O'Dowd did it last year with Dublin in Croke Park. You've done it now with DCU.
Yeah, look, I think it's good, I suppose. Sarah as well, she came on there in second half to Dexon, she's from Leitrim too, so I think it's great that girls going to college can push on and try play at the higher level, because they're just as capable. But I suppose it's just about like just believing in your own ability for the girls that are, younger girls that are coming up, and hopefully that'll give them that confidence.
Leah Fox on winning the O'Connor Cup with DCU. ATU Sligo also enjoyed All-Ireland success lifting the Moynihan Cup, and it was a poignant one to win Lincork last Sunday. Take a listen to this excerpt from Ocean FM Sport.
This is Sarah Caulfield, the Meath girl, and Roisin Rogers has it, and it's so appropriate that the ball ends in the arms of the captain. And look at the emotion, raw emotion. And usually the place goes absolutely crazy at a time like this, but the crowd has gone into a hush. They have all of a sudden stopped applauding. It's just so, so raw, so, so emotional, so difficult for these girls. They have never seen this happen at the end of a game before. It's been the most difficult of days, and they have given a superhuman effort. They've obviously been driven by their teammate. There was a minute's silence before the game, and this is like a minute's silence at the end of the game. They've won, but there is no celebrating. They are remembering their teammate, Ella O'Neill, a Waterford girl who was listed at number two in the programme.
Well, that was the voice of Jerome Quinn describing the final moments of yesterday's All-Ireland Higher Education Moynihan Cup final in women's Gaelic football. ATU Sligo senior women's footballers beating Mary Immaculate College from Limerick by 110 to 18 in a gutsy display to win that title, having lost the final by a single point to Dundalk 12 months previously. But a lot of poignancy around the match following the recent passing of ATU Sligo student and footballer Ella O'Neill, as Jerome referenced there. She was laid to rest in her home county of Waterford last Tuesday. Several members of the ATU Sligo squad were at that funeral, and then they went to the finals weekend in Cork and they won it for her. Let's have a word with the team captain of the ATU Sligo team. That's Donegal County footballer Roisin Rogers. Roisin, thanks for joining us on the line. Congratulations, first of all, on winning that All-Ireland Universities title.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That was some weekend on so many fronts. What are the emotions like amongst you and your teammates today?
Yeah, it's definitely a bittersweet moment. You know, like we said at the start of the competition going into it that we were going to do it for Ella, and when that final whistle blew, I think everyone just let out the cries and the nearly the sigh of relief that we knew that we had done it for her, and we set out the challenge that we wanted to do it for her, and just the relief that we felt. It was like a weight taken off her shoulders, being able to lift the cup up there and doing it for her. But yeah, no, it was an honour to be able to do it for her and her family, and we loved doing it, and everyone felt great afterwards.
Well, I'm sure they did, and you looked like such a determined team all weekend, the way you won your semi-final and the way you won the final yesterday.
Yeah, you know, it was great to be able to do it and going out into the semi-final. We'd said, you know, that we wanted to go in strong and go in hard in every single tackle that we did and every point that we scored, every possession that we had. And we had to do it with precision and accuracy. And that's what we tried to do. And we tried to make sure that everything we did was done right. And we always had Ella in the back of our minds. We had her ribbons in her hair to try and keep her keep her with us, and we had her initials written on our arms, and she definitely helped carry us over the lines. There was times where definitely in the final in the first few minutes where I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but I think definitely Ella definitely helped carry us over the line that day. 100%, without her I don't think we would have been able to do it.
Well, it sounds like she certainly provided you with inspirations. I don't know how well you knew Ella O'Neill Roisin. She's a teammate of yours. And I know that you and your teammates went to Waterford for the funeral last Tuesday.
Yeah, we did. You know, we all went down on Tuesday. We all wanted to pay our respects. She was just one of those people, as soon as you seen her and as soon as you seen her beautiful smile, that she put a smile on your face. Even if you were having a bad day and you landed down at college training and you seen her, we'd always have a good laugh with her. And she really was. She was a beautiful soul. It was tough now going down on Tuesday. It was been a tough week for all of us, to be honest. And we didn't really know how we were going to get over the line, to be honest, going into the competition. But through talking to her family and talking to her very close friends, you know, that have known her all of our lives, we only knew her for a small, small portion of it. But the impact that she had on us was immense. And through talking to her family and friends, we knew that she had made an impact on their lives as well. And she had such a love for football and GAA and the sport itself, so we knew that the competition had to be dedicated to her and her family.
And clearly, Roisin, her family felt a connection with you, your teammates, the ATU Sligo team, because Aoife, her sister, Dara, her brother, came to Cork to watch you play your semi-final and final this weekend.
Yeah, they did. We were talking to them on Tuesday at the funeral, and we said to them when we were down there that we were going to do it for her, and that we were going to, you know, bring the cup home for her. And, you know, they spoke to us and they says that they're gonna hold us to it, and they're going to come down and support us every single step of the way. And they did exactly that. They were there on the Friday when we played the semi-final, and when we looked over on the sidelines and we seen them, they gave us the strength that we needed to get over it. And they really are their credit. They were supporting us every step of the way. And Aoife, the sister, had Ella's jersey number on her. We gave it to the family, so she had that on her with her, so it felt like Ella was with us the whole time.
And you know, there's so much sport going on this weekend on all sporting fronts, Roisin. You know, between the rugby, the soccer today, the colleges Gaelic football yesterday, your own final yesterday. So much stuff coming at us. But I have to say, the video posted yesterday evening by Jerome Quinn stopped me in my tracks. It's you and your teammates in the team photo huddle at the pitch after receiving the cup, where you gather for the team photo, and Aoife and Dara sitting with you hold the cup. And you broke into song. You sang The Travelling Soldier. Can you explain to us the significance of that song, please?
Yeah, of course. We thought it was fitting that when we won the cup and the trophy, that Dara and Aoife should be in the middle and have the cup held for Ella. And when we were down at the funeral on Tuesday, when they were laying Ella to rest, Travelling Soldier was one of our favourite songs, and they played the song and we all sang it when we were down on the Tuesday at the funeral. And we just knew that that was the perfect way to finish it off and top it off. It was to have them with us and to sing one last tribute to Ella before we had all left and parted ways. So we all thought that one way to finish it off was to have one more tribute to Ella and sing Travelling Soldier to her. And it was just our way of making peace with Ella and her family. And I don't think it wasn't planned, but we all just felt in that moment it was the right thing to do. And I think it was personally the perfect way to finish it off for her.
To a girl with a bow in her hair. She did a little shy, so she gave him a smile. He said, put your mind sitting down for a while and talking to me. I'm feeling a little low. Set him off in an hour and I know where we can go.
Oh, God.
So they went down and they sat on the pier. He said, I bet you got a boyfriend, but I don't care. I got no one. Send a letter to you.
ATU Sligo team captain Roisin Rodgers and her teammate singing Travelling Soldier in memory of their late teammate Ella O'Neill. A reminder that this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie or wherever you get your podcasts. Search for Ocean FM Sport on Spotify or Ocean FM News Reports on iOS devices to find it. We're back next week, same time, same place.